idea or thought that we would have had, to, but Lord, that we would meet to hear a word from you, Lord, that you could speak to us and speak to our hearts, yeah. Bring forth a word, Father, that would encourage us, that would energize us, Lord, that we could take hold of it and build our faith, that our faith could grow with the hearing of the word, Lord. We could recognize you in every chapter and verse as we go. And Father, that we could fight back against the enemy in this day and age in which all the world has united to come against you, Father, that we would stand against it all in your name. So, Father, we ask you would be here with us. We invite you here, Lord, knowing and expecting you to come. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would, turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It's going to be a continuation of last week's material. Pull it up here. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Amen. Y'all could be seated. So, as a quick review, I hopefully will make it a quick review. I am the worst when it comes to reviews. They're oftentimes not quick. Just quickly go over what we just spoke on last Sunday, how this quote, right, this quote from Marriage and Divorce, we'll just read it again now. It says, "Remember, Adam was both masculine and feminine in the original creation, one, but then he was separated by a rib, notice, but a byproduct. And notice, the only one of all God's creation, of every animal and anything else, she was the only one designed this way. Every other female was in the original creation. Every other female was in the original creation, but Eve was not in the original creation." See? That had to be made that way. We'll get to it after a while. "Notice in this creation that she was not in the original, but a byproduct. And in this creation, now I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth, and you just sit still, you're doing nice." Okay. So I would, again, like to point out that even Brother Branham recognized that when he said it, a lot of people were going to choke on it, yeah. Right? This is not something that is going to naturally, you're just going to immediately read this and go, ah, this makes me feel nice, right? And, you know, after spending a lot of time studying this, it, you know, honestly, what it reminded me of is when Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me," right? And so when all these people who were following him packed up and left, they said, "Well, this guy's crazy. He's a cannibal, vampire, weirdo, and we're not going to follow this Beelzebub, this guy who's talking about some weird flesh-eating cult. That's hideous. We're not going to be part of that," right? Well, but then when he turns to the 12 and says, "Aren't you going to leave also?" Notice what they did not say was that it didn't bother them. Right? They didn't understand it very well either. But what they recognized was, in spite of the fact that it bothered them, that they didn't understand it, right? Even they might not have even recognized that they didn't understand it. They just knew that it bothered them. But they also recognized that this man had the words of eternal life. And so they weren't going to walk away from that no matter how much it bothered them. Right? And so that's kind of, you know, so many people will see a quote like this and it'll get under their skin and they'll go, "Oh, well, I'm not going to stand for this. This is some sort of misogynistic, you know, woman-hating thing, and so I'm not going to be part of that. Like, I'm, you know." And so, or, and this is the other side of it, and hopefully I'll get to this here in a minute. What people will do is they'll read a quote like this and then very conveniently skip over and say, "Ah, well, I just won't think about that quote too much." I'll accept all the message except for quotes like this. Right? It's like, well, okay, well, now you also have a problem. Right? You got to accept the whole message. Everything, you know, when Brother Branham says it makes a statement like this, he's not making the statement on his own authority. He's making it because it came directly out of what we just read. Right? Came directly out of Genesis chapter 1. So it's not Brother Branham's opinion on this point. It's directly, it is the word of God. It's from Genesis, right? So, you know, when people want to reject a statement like this and say, well, I don't like that, it doesn't make me feel good, what they're saying is, well, there's part of the word that I don't want to accept. Okay? So, but if you stick with it, right, because the disciples were willing to stick with Brother Branham, or I'm sorry, stick with Christ, rather. Because they were willing to stick with Christ, even though he said something that bothered them, ultimately they got to the fulfillment of that scripture. And it was something wonderful and beautiful that is still an ordinance in the church today. Right? It has become, you know, it became a beautiful thing once they caught the revelation of what he was talking about. But you got to stick with him through the misunderstanding to get to the revelation. Right? So, we talked about how, I got to turn it on first. It works better if you turn it on. So we talked about this. This is just a quick, just a example, right? You can view nothing too complicated. hopefully you can just at least see that the colors are just representative of different chemicals in the reaction, and that you can track it all the way through. And you can see that in any chemical reaction, the byproducts are an inevitability of the reaction. Anytime you have a reaction, you will have byproducts. It is just the way it works, right? It is like saying, I'm going to cut a 3-foot 2x4 out of a 1-foot 2x4. Well, guess what? You're going to have a 3-foot 2x4 out of a 4-foot 2x4. You're going to have a 1-foot 2x4 at the end of that, no matter how you want to do it. Right? There's no way to do that. You will end up with two halves of this, right? Well, if Adam is the product and Eve is the byproduct, the result, she was the byproduct because she was in the original creation as well, right? When it said, let us make man in our image, male and female created he them, Eve was in that, right? Eve was the female in that. Amen. Right? And she's not an afterthought. She's not a waste product. She's not trash to be disposed of. She's not something to be trodden on. She is as much an intended result of this process as Adam was. Okay? Get my notes here. And the reason she was this way, right, is because they were both made together in the image of Christ, or in the image of God. Now, hopefully I'll be able to circle back to this, because it's a point I want to dwell on a little bit. But we also talked about how, you know, when people in this modern society, people don't want to be, you know, we see it as some sort of hideous thing, right? People get their hackles up when you say, oh, well, a woman is a byproduct of a man. Oh, well, how dare you? I am a strong, independent woman, don't need no man, right? And we don't like the idea that a woman has to be subservient to a man because of, you know, 100 years of feminism that teach us things that are literally contrary to the order that God has laid out. And so it's built into the subconscious of the modern world that any time a woman is seen as submissive, that it's seen as belittling or wrong, and that we shouldn't stand for that. But the reality is that it was the way God intended, that's the way God created people, yeah. Right? And so of all the females that God created in the beginning, the woman was the only one that was created as a byproduct. She's the only one. That makes her special, yeah. Right? That means it was important. That means it wasn't just something that we shouldn't just move past that. We should think about that for a minute. Why was she intentionally made that way on purpose as opposed to all the other animals, right? And so, you know, we look at all these other animals in which you see a single male and a bunch of females, right? There's one rooster, many hens, one bull elk, many cow elk, one male lion, many lionesses, right? Why? Because these are all animals that were in which the females were in the original creation, and they organized themselves this way. And we can see here in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, and let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Okay? When we move away from a society in which you have one man being the leadership of his home and one woman being the wife in that home and being submissive to the man's authority, when we move away from that, when we move away from the marital structure that God laid out, then we end up with a bestial relationship structure. We end up with an animalistic system, because after all, if you want to pattern your, if the women want to be like all the other females in the original creation, well, then they're going to end up like all the other females in the original creation. Amen. Right? You're going to end up with a system like we have today that the scripture prophesied would happen. Okay? We would end up with a system in which you have a small group of men that all these women chase after, and you end up with a single motherhood epidemic that is breaking the family structure of the entire world, right? And the reality is, okay, we'll get to that in a second. There we go. All right. What ends up happening is that because men and women were not designed to live this kind of way, right? Because men were built to be the leaders of their homes, and women were built to be able to depend upon their men as leaders and providers and protectors, and be able to submit to that authority and be comfortable in doing so and not afraid of what that man is going to do to her, because we've gotten away from that system, well, it's no wonder that we're having massive mental health problems.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, it's not a... All right, just some statistics. So I actually read this today in preparation for this. So they did a study in which they showed that they compared teenagers and college age people, high school and college age people from 1936 to 2007. And what they found was that the children or the young people in that age range were 7 or 8 times more likely to be diagnosed with depression than in 1936. In 2007, they are 7 or 8 times more likely to be depressed than they were in 1936. Okay? In the last 25 years alone, okay, this is from the year 2000 to the year 2004, suicide has gone up 36%.
Amen.
Okay? Any other disease, any other major fatal disease that went up in 36% in 25 years, people would be ripping their hair out,
yeah,
trying to figure out what is happening. What's in the food? What's in the water? What is in our environment that's causing this kind of massive spike in fatal mortality? Right, mortality rates. It's not okay. We know that mental health has declined over the last 100 years. We know this. It is researchers have been able to prove this unequivocally. Today, if you walk into any crowded place, right, go to Walmart on a nice crowded day in Walmart and walk through Walmart, and just know, you can just know, because based on statistics, that when you walk through Walmart, every third woman that you see will be diagnosed with depression. One out of three women are diagnosed with depression. 1 out of 4 are diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. Okay? That's a problem. That's a massive problem. Think of any other disease and think, yeah, at any given point, 1 out of 3, people are going to be diagnosed with that disease. And we call that a massive problem. Right? And we wonder, why are women this is another statistic. I don't have the exact, I didn't have time to pull the exact number on this, but one of the things that they found with the explosion of the transgender movement, right?
Yeah.
You know, men having confusion and thinking they're women has been a problem for a long time. That's not a new phenomenon per se, though it might be a little bit more prevalent today. It was always kind of known to exist. But young girls thinking they're boys is kind of new. It's It has exploded in the last year to the point where we're talking like, you know, 10,000% increases in reported incidents of this happening. Why? Why is this new thing suddenly happening out of the blue? And if you look at the what they call comorbidities, right? Where they say, all right, here's a girl who has been clinically diagnosed with gender dysphoria. What else was going on in her life? Well, typically, one of the core fundamental things that is shared across all of these cases is that they are young girls who have severe issues with insecurity, body insecurity, which, by the way, is also this same pattern follows the self-harm epidemics that we've seen. It follows the anxiety and eating disorder epidemics that we've seen, and they all have shared the exact same comorbidities. So it's not a mystery. Like, it's what we're seeing is that these mental health problems, where we're seeing insecurities and anxieties and depressions and all of these things attacking people in this modern age that didn't happen 100 years ago.
Right.
And it's almost as if the structure that God set up in which a man, a headship, could make his wives and his wife and his daughters feel secure and protected and provided for and safe, and when she's feeling miserable about herself, he can be the romantic one to make her feel better and feel desired and wanted and pretty. This is what a man does. This is what his purpose in life is to do, right? Like, this is what drives a man. I mean, because why? Because he's made in the image of God. And what God did was that when his bride was feeling rejected, he made sure he got crucified to make her feel forgiven. Right? Because God is romantic. God is the most romantic person that has ever existed. Right? And when a man who's made in the image of God is operating in the way that he was intended to operate,
amen,
he's going to fulfill all of those needs in his wife, and and he's going to be that headship for his daughters and be the pattern of the men that she's supposed to seek after, right? And he's going to fulfill those needs for his daughters so that you don't deal with these problems.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, sure, every woman's going to feel insecure, but that's why she has a man to help her feel secure. Right? Like, and likewise, young men, or just men in general, only function correctly when they have a responsibility of a wife and a family to provide and protect.
Yeah.
Right? When men have a purpose of being, then they perform well. Right? They will go to work when they feel like they have a wife to take care of.
Yeah.
Right? When they have children to take care of, they will go to work. And they will provide because they are something inside that makes them do it, right? In suicide statistics, 80% of suicides are men. 80%. And they have gone up radically over time. And I guarantee you, and because we have the data on this, that the vast majority of the men who are committing suicide are doing it when they lose their family. When they no longer have a family to provide for and protect, when they are removed from their God-given role and responsibility, when they no longer have someone to lay their life down for, then they have no purpose of being. And it's not a mystery, because even God didn't want to exist without a bride.
Amen.
Even God said, my existence is pointless and meaningless unless I have a bride.
Yeah.
Right? So when we blow up the nuclear family and we say, well, we're not going to pattern our lives and our marriages and our lifestyles after the word of God, after humanity was designed to be, it's not a mystery why we're suddenly dealing with all these mental health problems. It's not a mystery why, I mean, look, we're designed, our brains are wired to operate in a certain kind of environment. If you take a fish out of the water and put him in a bucket full of chocolate pudding, he's not going to function correctly. Right? If you take humans out of the environment and the structure in which they were designed to be, they're not going to function correctly. They're going to be depressed, anxious, and suicidal. And I didn't mean to get off on that as long as I did. But But it all wraps back. I want to pick up Ephesians chapter 5 here. I'm going to read it very quickly. You don't have to turn because I have very little time left, but I want to keep moving here. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Okay. Why? Why does did Paul say this? Because he's recognizing that Adam and Eve were patterned after Christ and the bride.
Yeah.
Right? That's who Adam and Eve were patterned after. Because before the foundation of the world, there was a lamb slain. Right? And if there was a slain lamb, then there was redeemed of that blood as well. Right? You're not going to slay a lamb unless there's something to slay a lamb for. Right? So if Christ existed before the foundation of the world, and so did the bride. Okay, where was Job before the foundation, when the sons of God sang for joy? And so because they're meeting that same pattern, therefore, we don't look at God and say, "Well, God, you have to submit to my authority as the church." No, we submit to God as Christ is the masculine, Christ is the dominant figure in the leadership. Christ is the headship in this relationship, and so the church submits to the headship, not the other way around. And likewise, wives should submit to their husbands because he's the leadership in the situation. When there's a great quote, I didn't have it with me, it just came to me now, where Brother Branham says, talking about a woman trying to take leadership over a man, and he says, "Boys, you better not let her. She'll rule over you if you let her, and she'll hate you for it."
Yeah.
Okay. Women are not designed to be leaders, be in leadership positions in the home. They would prefer the man to be the leadership position, right? But if you make her be the leadership position, guess what? She'll do it and she'll hate you for it,
yeah.
Right? And so the wife would rather allow the man to be the leader, allow him to be the hero, right? Allow him to be able to lay his life down for her. It makes her feel loved. Okay, in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." I'm going to kind of skip down a little bit. "For this cause, for no man shall ever yet hate his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, I would like to point something out here. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And then in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's interesting. The commandment to the women is to submit, and the commandment to the men is to love. All right, so I had somebody, there's a kind of a thought experiment that you can do, ladies. When you, next time you have a minute with your man, ask your husband whether he would rather be loved or respected. Okay? And I guarantee you, I say guarantee, 9 times out of 10, okay? Vast majority of the time, the man is gonna say, "That's the same thing. I do not feel loved if I do not feel respected."
Yeah.
Right? When a woman respects her headship, that's how she makes him feel loved.
Yeah.
Right? And she's got 3 verses. Paul gives her 3 verses of commentary on how a woman can properly make her man feel loved. And he gives him like 8 verses, right? Because for her, it's simple. Just submit to the headship. That's what you do to make him feel cared for. For him, it's a little bit of a different project because now it's not as simple as that. It's you better provide, you better protect, you better go a whole bunch of extra miles, right? You better sacrifice. Why? Because it's all going back to the relationship of Christ and the bride.
Yeah.
And notice here that here's Paul saying that there's a great mystery in all of this. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So here's Paul saying, recognizing that when we're talking about marriage and divorce, we're not talking about human affairs per se. We're talking about spiritual affairs that are only playing out in the natural world. Right? Because the natural types the spiritual. What we see in the natural world 100% is a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual world. When we see a modern environment in which the authority of men is completely cut down, right? That the men are no longer expected to be leaders in their homes, then it's not any wonder why God is removed as leadership over the church. Okay? It's the same spirit. It's doing the same thing. Okay? And so when we do not pattern our lives after the word, and we do not pattern our marriages after the word, then guess what? It's not a reflection of what God intended. It's not going to be, it's going to be a direct reflection of our spiritual well-being. Amen. Right? And when we, there's a lot of times that women or our sisters want to go, well, I'll submit to the authority in my home in all the places that I like and the places that I disagree with that I don't think are very healthy, I'm just going to ignore that. Right? The parts of my husband's authority that I agree with, I'll submit to, and the parts of my husband's authority that I disagree with, I will just sort of bypass. And you'll see this, open your eyes and people, you'll see it a lot. Right? A lot of times, you'll get parents with differing opinions on how to raise children. And so kids learn pretty quick, go to mom for this and go to dad for that. Yeah. Right? Well, no, ultimately what should be happening is when you go to mom, she's going to say, what did your father say? Yeah. Right? There's not going to be a difference of opinion. And I understand there's miscommunication and she thinks one thing and he thinks another thing and they didn't get together first on the topic, so you're going to get different outcome. That's not what I'm talking about. Right? But every kid knows that you can absolutely get a difference of opinion based on who you go to. Well, ultimately there should be a unity there. And why? It's because a lot of times, look, when a woman is willing to submit to the authority everywhere but the places that she disagrees with, it is a woman saying, I will wear my long hair for the glory, because it is my glory and it speaks of my headship, but I'm going to trim the split ends off because I don't like that part. Yeah. Right? I mean, Brother Branham said you don't take scissors to your hair. And so when you're saying, well, I don't like this part of my hair, so I'm just going to clip the ends off, because I mean, I think it would be healthier if I just, okay, that's great. But what you're doing is you're trimming the authority, the edges of the authority off of your husband where you don't like it. Right? That's spiritually speaking, that's what you're doing. And it's going to show a lot of places in that marriage. Yeah. Right? Once you start looking at it in that angle, suddenly you start seeing all the places in which that woman doesn't respect her husband where she doesn't agree. Yeah. Right? And I know that's hard. Right? Nobody likes to hear that kind of preaching. I guarantee you nobody likes to hear that kind of preaching. Right? And if you notice what Brother Branham said, sit still. I know this is going to be hard. Yeah. The preacher doesn't like preaching that kind of material either, I promise. Amen. Right? No one likes to hear that. Why? Because it hits us where we live. Yeah. It hits us where it hurts. But it's ultimately what it's saying is, listen, we have to line up with the word everywhere. And that's the hardship in this day and age. It's not about, getting you to be a complete apostate. It's getting you to compromise one tiny percentage. Yeah. Right? It's getting you to compromise one tiny percent. Throughout the entire Bible, we can see that God recognizes sin as spiritual fornication. That's how he sees it. Okay? And if I say, there's how many hours in the day, 24 hours in a day, and there's 365 days in a year, that's, however many thousands of hours of a year. If I spend 1 hour out of every year having an affair, does that make me a bad person, really? I mean, don't judge me based off of my worst 1%. Look at all this 99%. That's really great. No. That 1% makes you a wretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
That 1% destroyed your relationship.
Yeah.
It's 1% ruins everything.
Yeah.
Right? If you're you sit down to a fine meal, surf and turf, whatever. I don't know. I like my mom's red chili cheese enchiladas. If I got a big old plate full of that and I'm scarfing it down, it's 99% delicious and 1% cyanide. Mm-hmm. Right? It's delicious and deadly.
Yeah.
Right? This idea that we can compromise 1%. No.
Amen.
It's not okay.
Amen.
Right? That 1% will ruin you.
Yeah.
And because the relationship with your husband and between the husband and wife is a direct reflection of the relationship with Christ and the bride. If 1% fornication will destroy a marriage, then 1% sin will destroy your relationship with God. It's, you will not go in a rapture with 1% rejection of God's authority in your life. It won't happen. It's just not. And, I am done. Man, that clock moves quick. I'll just wrap it up. Let's stand and have a word of prayer, and I'll just. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, you know that my heart, Lord, and I believe that I'm bringing you the word, bringing the people the word that you gave to me. I would give nothing of something that I would have come up with. Lord, you know I would rather die than do that. So, Father, I'm asking that you would go with the people this morning. Let something that I would have said not be simply some words, but, Lord, that something that someone could recognize and as coming from you, and that they could hold on to it and be encouraged to rise higher and hold on tighter, no matter how deceitful and devious this world might be, that they would recognize the wiles of the devil and strike it down. And Father, hold to you, Lord, that we would recognize the great romance that you've brought to us in this day and age, that we would hold to that, not to the promises that you've given us, Lord. We ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.